countdown so I can tell. A clock that counts. Does that clock count when we're on? I'm watching.
5:18. Anytime we talk, there is a magical button in front of you. Push it, because otherwise you're not going to be heard, okay?
The light's on if you're recording. So, like, if your mic is on. So her light is on because her mic is on.
So push the button right here. Perfect.
But if you want to turn your mic off, if you lift it up, there's a button on the bottom. Oh, there we go. Okay. So now your mic's just on all the time.
Okay.
I thought we were going to have our first, you know, person to watch, but then they left. Disappointing.
Colin almost came with me because he wanted to come to the library after his first day of school and wanted to come and watch our meeting, but he wanted to sit in the audience and read his book.
He's always welcome.
Does anyone ever come and observe or go online? And
we had a person come once to Library Foundation because it turned out they were in the wrong room. They thought they were there for a booster meeting for Sam Case Boosters.
Oh, gosh.
But Autumn and I were on Library Foundation, and so they're like, oh, Gretchen and Autumn are here. This must be it. Yeah. Sometimes the city council comes, but not all the time,
okay.
Just occasionally. That's pretty much it. We've never had just someone come to speak. Are we on the record now?
We are on the record.
Hi, this is Gretchen Havner. I'm the president of the library board, and I'm calling this meeting to order at 5:18. First, we're going to do introductions. Let's start with our members on the phone. Would you like to introduce yourself? Can we hear
you? Sure. Am I the only person on the phone?
You sure are, Yvonne. I'm sorry. I should have clarified that.
Okay. So, good evening, everybody. This is Yvonne calling in. My apologies for not being there in person.
Yeah, no worries. My name is Gretchen Havner. I'm the library board president. I'm also an attorney in town, and I represent kids and families who are involved with child welfare.
My name is Stormy Dykes. This is my very first meeting. I am the new at-large representative for the board. I own my own small marketing and advertising firm called Stormy Seas, Inc. I am a Newport Public Library volunteer. And I'm really excited to be part of the group and very happy to be here at the meeting tonight.
Yes, welcome, Stormy. I missed the last meeting, so I didn't get to meet you, but I love the name of your business.
Thank you.
It's an awesome name.
Thanks.
Okay, Karen, on to you.
My name's Karen Applin. I'm a retired librarian.
My name is Madeline Husko, and I am the high school representative.
And what grade are you in?
I am a junior now.
Oh, happy first day of school.
My name is Molly Bukowski-Reyes, and I'm the cultural diversity representative.
My name is Ellen Franklin, and I work at Newport High School, and that's it.
Happy first day of school to you too, Ellen.
And I'm Laura Kimberly. I'm the Newport Public Library Director, and I'm very happy to have a full board. see all your faces and have Yvonne on the phone. Yvonne, I have two bookmarks for you too for library card sign up month and then banned books week. So I'm going to put those aside for you because everybody gets one.
So none of you are allowed to move to Indiana, Minnesota, Wisconsin, wherever Michael ended up. I can't recall now. I thought it was Indiana. Okay. Okay, first up, we have approval of the minutes. Did anyone have a chance to read the minutes?
And they are up on the board right now. I enlarged. Let me know if I need to go down so you guys can see.
for next month, just for everyone's FYI, if you, Laura's embedding all this stuff into the agenda this time. So
cool. And I can bring paper copies for you guys too, if it's easier. I just didn't know what printer capabilities you guys have at home. So just let me know when I send it out next time, if you guys want me to print a packet for you, because I usually do that too. But I didn't want to waste.
I like that. I can actually see this. This is fine for me.
Yeah, this is good.
That, yeah, I appreciated the electronic embed because I could follow along as well. It did get really quiet. I wasn't sure if the call was still connected, but I read the minutes some time ago, refreshed my memory this evening. Everything looked good to me, so I could make a motion to approve the minutes for tonight, the minutes from July 27th.
I second that.
So we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes. Is there any discussion? There being no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Excellent. That brings us up to the librarian's report.
Is that too small for you guys to see?
That's a little small for me, unfortunately.
Through this, okay. So hours of operation right now, and it's been like this since we reopened for browsing and for people to be able to come in and use the computers. It's still Tuesday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. The one big change since last time we met is that the foundation book sale is up and running now, and we're accepting donations, and we're looking at reopening the drive-up book drop during the week. But because we don't have staff working on the weekends it would still be closed, and the building book drop would be open 24 hours, 7 days a week. But we're trying to find the right tool to open and close it instead of having to put plastic bags over the drive-up and duct tape all over it. So we're working on that. That should be pretty soon. One of the other big things is our supervising librarian position is in the final steps of recruitment. And so we're waiting to be able to give the official offer, and hopefully that'll happen next week. And then our library specialist one position closed, and we're getting ready to conduct phone interviews and schedule those probably next week when our HR director's back from vacation. And then I had met with the city manager and HR director in August to finalize the job description for our approved part-time bilingual community resource specialist at the library. And this is a new position, like we've been talking about. This person's going to be our liaison with our Hispanic and Indigenous community. And so it's a totally new position for the city, new position for the library, and that position should be posted probably next week. And then when they put the posting up, it's just going to be in English because the website that's used to post these government positions are just in English. And so we're going to get it translated and put it up in Spanish on the website and then get it out. And Millie, I may be sharing it with you to share with anybody you know that might be interested too, and then with you guys as well. So if you know people who may be interested in this position and fit the requirements, we can get a good candidate pool of people. And then Sarah Vaughn is our BBSI temporary employee, and she's still helping us, and she's doing a fantastic job of helping alleviate some of the pressure on the staff and covering circulation desk hours and handling various tasks like replacing the cases on our movies or cases on the audiobooks, or making sure that we have an updated like New York Times bestsellers list, because we were doing that before COVID and then that kind of went to the wayside. So picking
up
little things.
Is she someone we could keep around?
We're hoping. We really like her, and she fits in really well with the staff too. But that will be determined. And then the other big thing, I had told you guys that the contract for the windows, we were going to have the windows upstairs and downstairs on the west side of the building replaced, especially because we had a lot of damage from the roof too.
And so the contract has been awarded to Davis Glass, and the work is projected to start in mid-October, maybe even early October. They just have to wait for the materials to arrive, and then they're hoping the work would be completed over a two-week period, but we have to see how the weather works with us. And kind of what we're thinking is that they would tackle the downstairs windows, like the children's area, the ones that are really bad. You've seen them.
Yeah.
Then they would tackle the upstairs ones. But I'll let you guys know a little bit closer. And then we're going to be meeting, I'm going to be meeting with Davis Glass before the window replacement work starts, just so we know what's required on our part. And then we can make the necessary adjustments and then let the public know if, like, the children's room's closed for the day or anything like that. We're hoping that won't be the case. We're hoping that our barricades are good enough. But we will see. And then it is also Oregon Public Library statistical report time. And so we're in the process of filling out our 2021 Oregon Public Library statistical report. It's actually for 2020. And it opened on July 1st of 2021. And it's for the past fiscal year from July 1st, 2020 through June 30th, 2021. And I have to have that completed by the 31st of October. It'll be done before then. But during our November board meeting, I'm going to go over this with you guys and show you what the report looks like. And I had showed you guys that last year. But I want to show you kind of what's happened since last year to this year, answer any questions you guys may have, especially if this is the first time that you've seen it, and ask for why these numbers are important. Like, it gives you an opportunity to ask me questions. But I will be sharing that with you guys at our November meeting, because we won't have another one until November. And then the other thing is Banned Books Week is, I didn't put this in the report, is later this month from September 26th to October 2nd. And you guys have a nice little bookmark about the 10 most challenged books of 2020. Some of those have been on there many years in a row, like Mice and Men. It's a typical one you usually see. Roll down. And then it is also a library card sign-up month, the month of September. And so last night, the city council had a proclamation for library card sign-up month signed. And we'll put that up on our website and up on social media. But we've created a bingo board for our adults so they can learn more about the library and they can win a cool little prize, like a bookmark and a cool pen. And then the kids also have bingo as well. It's fall into reading. It's for under 18. And then we did this for the adults. So we have a passive program. And then one of the really, really cool things I got to show you guys. And Maddie, there's our sheep. So we have our 3D printer all set up. And our teen volunteers helped put this together. And this, on the left, you guys can see our sheep. I don't remember if we came up with a name. Was it sheep? So they printed this beautiful sheep. This is the first project that they did. And then the picture over on the right, let me scoot it over a little bit, is our teen volunteers that were involved with setting it up. And they've done a couple prints. They've done a tugboat. They did a frog. They did the sheep. You guys, a whistle. They did a dog. And then they're going to print something again on Friday this week, because that'll be the time for the teens to come in and be able to see what's printing. And there'll be a teen volunteer that's monitoring everything, but it gives an opportunity to check out what's going on. And we're hoping to expand the use of the 3D printer in the future, and so you guys can keep your eyes open. But if you are in the library and you want to check it out, just let us know, because we'd love to show you. But that's the first creation. That's the sheep. Cool. And then Vanessa's putting together a video, time-lapse video, of the printing and of the teens putting everything together to send to the State Library of Oregon as part of this teen services grant. So once she has that finalized, I will share that with you guys, because it's really cute. And she showed me the time-lapse video of when they put it together and that they were having a hard time getting it to work. And it's because they forgot to plug it in. It was cute. Okay, and then we also had a free comic book day on Friday, August 31st, and Spider-Man and Wonder Woman came to our event.
to show off their superpowers, like you guys can see. It was really cute. And we had 85 people come to pick up one free comic book. And then comic books were available while supplies lasted, and we had some extra ones that are left over. But we're hoping to do something like this maybe next year, too. But you guys can see our little superheroes. They're really cute. And then in early August, Jan, Catherine, and I, Catherine's our adult services librarian, attended the National Night Out events where we had a table at the National Guard Armory, and it was on the 3rd of August, and it was from 4 to 7. And we had 150 individuals come by our table to enjoy craft activities, pick up a library card application, ask questions, learn more about the library. We were not handing out library cards there just because it's not the right kind of event. It's too busy and it's way too loud with it. But we're hoping to be able to do that at future outreach events that we're invited to. So I wanted to show you the cute little picture. And then youth services. So this is the fall into reading program that I had mentioned a little bit earlier. That this is our fall into reading book bingo contest for ages 18 and under. And all people have to do is come into the library, pick up their bingo card, and complete a bingo blackout by January of 2022, and they get to win a prize. That's been fun, too. And then I'm going to pull down because there's more stuff going on. So
the prize.
I think it's a book.
That seems appropriate.
I'm like, I think it's a book. And I'll give you guys a summer reading report next time, but we're waiting for all the final numbers, and I want to be able to give you a comprehensive report, and I wasn't going to have enough time to pull that together before today, but let you guys know how this, everything went with adults, teens, and children. So you guys will get that report at the November meeting. But so school went back for some of our students yesterday and most rest of them today. And so we're hosting after-school activities for our teens in grades 6 through 12 in the teen room. And so Tuesdays are arts and crafts and sometimes Legos. Wednesdays will be game tournaments. Thursday will be homework help. And Friday will be 3D printing. And so this is the beautiful graphic Vanessa put together for our teens. I wanted to show you guys that.
Here you have a lot of Legos.
Yeah, we love Legos. I want to do Legos for adults would be fun, too. It's therapeutic, too. And then adult services as far as programs, besides the bingo this month, we're not doing any in-person programming. The teens that are coming in, it's going to be considered passive, so they can drop in, and then we're spacing them out just because we want to keep, especially with the COVID numbers, with everything, we're trying to be very safe. So adult services, we had started this, it's finally 2021 reading challenge, and we've had more people participate in that. We had a woman who came in today who was very excited. She read 300 books so far this year, and she participated in our centennial challenge the year prior when we were doing the centennial year. And so she'd made a comment that she hasn't read most of these genres, so it was really fun for her to challenge herself and try something new and read items that she may not have read normally.
That's
read.
Fantastic.
Right? Isn't that cool? Wow. I've read 300 books. I'm a librarian. Wow. I don't even read that many. And then we're still doing the reading circle. So this month it's the Bookwoman of Troublesome Creek, and they were meeting on Zoom, and they're not meeting on Zoom anymore. They're meeting in person right now in the McIntyre meeting room. So that is
this book comes highly recommended by Sharon Beardsley, our former member. She was just talking to me about this weekend.
Ooh.
How much she liked it.
It's supposed to be really good. And then as far as the other items that are in the librarian's report, I have statistics. So I want to pull that up so I can show you guys really quick. So just give me 1 second.
The Bookwoman of Troublesome Creek is about a person, I believe it's West Virginia, but it could be Kentucky, who starts one of the first like bookmobiles, and she goes around with books.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It sounded pretty cool.
These are statistics. It's very small. Let me get it bigger for you guys. Is that better? We'll get it a little bit bigger. So these are Ocean Book circulation statistics for, what month was this? This was, I gotta look, July. I think it says July. So you guys can see like what our circulation is, what our net lending was. We are down a little bit, but that shouldn't be surprising with our limited hours with everything too. We're not doing that bad, considering everything. The one thing I thought was kind of interesting is our library to go numbers are pretty good. And then we added 34 new patrons in July. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to show you guys that. And then it has a breakdown on here of, like, it tells you how many items were circulated in the month for all of the Ocean Books Consortium. And we had 39,202 books that were circulated, which is kind of impressive. So this is this mm-hmm. one. I'm going to show you guys the next one. But I have to get all the attachments up. Is the August statistics. Let me make this bigger for you guys too. And so we had also they tell you what the number was for August 2020. And the number, I'm gonna make it a little bigger. For items that had circulated in August of 2020 was 21,144. And then this last August was 38,956. So it was quite a big jump. And we had added 34 patrons again during the month. And then our numbers, obviously we were down in net lending. But we're definitely getting busier, and you can see more materials coming through. And then our library to go numbers were up again too. They were even higher than they were a little bit lower than the previous month, but we're doing pretty good with that too. And ask questions. I want to show you guys this because I think it's important, just so you know these statistics. It tells more than a story too, besides the stories that you regularly hear from people. And then I'm going to show you the database statistics for August 2021. Let me pull that one up too. Through this one. So this one's through for August 2021 for our database statistics. And so these are different databases that either we pay for or that our foundation pays for, like Mango languages. A couple of them are covered by the state library too, we get. And so it has, actually this is July. I don't know why it says August. This is July 2021 database statistics. And so it tells you Consumer Reports, Flipster, Gale. The one thing that we are getting rid of is Tumble Books, because we haven't had the traction that we were hoping with that. And so that's been canceled. We are going to keep, what is it? There's one for the Oregonian. We got the online version of that, and we're planning on keeping that for another year. And then Hoopla, you guys can see, that's always our really popular one. And then Mango, we had 56 sessions, mobile sessions 53, and then Novelist.
What does that mean? Total session 16, but mobile, like if you're on your phone, it's counted differently?
Yeah, they break it down differently with it. And then abstracts, how many people are looking at abstracts, sessions. They break it down really, each of them are very different. And then when you do the state report, you can't always get the information you need because each of these databases compiles the information very differently. And so like they have Oregonian, we had 17, Tech Talk, which is one of the ones, it's like different Tech Talks that are going on, and that was really low cost, and we added that during COVID, and we kept it on another year just because we're getting more traction with it. And it's a way, even if we're doing like virtual services, we can help people that may have technology questions that we may not be able to help answer to. But Tumble Books is no longer going to be offered.
So, Laura, I have a question. What are these things that patrons can log into to access different periodicals and things? Or what? I'm not aware of what.
So these are different.
Something like
these
that
are different databases. Yeah, that the public has access to with your library card.
Okay.
So like Flipster is like magazines, downloadable magazines. Yeah. Heritage Quest is dealing with like genealogy. Hoopla is like the downloadable ebooks, audiobooks. You can even do like movies and TV shows with that.
Okay.
And then Mango is our language database. And then Novelist is like the reader's advisory tool that we use. So if you want to know, you like a particular author and you want to know something like an author that's similar or read-alikes or there's author-alikes or you like knowing about different award books, like it gives you that information. Or if you're part of a book group, it gives you discussion questions. Like it's really cool. Right. And it's gotten even better over time.
Nice.
And they have like stuff about for kids, like even for kids, they have stuff for Common Core that you can look at.
Okay. And you can access this on your home computer or your phone. You don't have to be at the library on one of the library computers or anything like that.
You do not.
Well, lovely. I did not know that was something that was offered. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, perfect.
So my question is in regards to Tech Talk. You were saying that that's an application to use or a site to use to help people troubleshoot.
Mm-hmm. They have like how to use Excel, how to use Word, how do you set up an email, how do you recover your password with like Google, because those are common questions we get all the time. Mm-hmm. There's even ones about how to build a table. Like they go into really like basic, and then they go into more advanced skills too. And they feature different tech talks every month, but a lot of them are available. Like, look, if you guys haven't checked it out, it's really cool.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And so we're happy about having that one too.
So Laura, a foundation question here. If you could scroll back up to Mango, how does that compare to normal? Like, is that how many people normally use it?
Well, I have the annual statistics for the databases. You want to see that one?
I sure do. So excited. Instant gratification. Boy, that's really little. You're going to have to read that to me. I tried to pull this back up on my phone, but it wouldn't open.
So this is the annual database statistics from, this is from July 1st of 2020 through June 30th of 2021. And so it tells you overall kind of what we were looking at. In April, with like the A to Z databases, we had 1,074 records viewed. I don't know why there was so many, but there was a lot that month. And that was the top, that's the top one, the very, very top. It was just kind of crazy. We had a lot there. And then like consumer reports, we didn't have any information for April. They were having issues with the database, being able to get that information. But then we had like 540 page views in May. It's interesting. And the visits like go up and down. And then sometimes you see it keep climbing. And that's pretty typical. And then Flipster, we've had certain months that are better than others. And Flipster's, this one, I don't know if you guys can see it right here, but we had 220 annual downloads for that one. And this is information I compile, and we compile when we put in the state annual report, because this is another way to track how we're doing. And then we had Gale and Heritage Quest. Gale's right here. I'm trying to get it on here. And we did pretty good with that. We had February, somebody was doing a lot of searches because we had 384 searches that month. It's interesting. The information's interesting to see. And then Heritage Quest, we didn't have any in June, any searches, but one of the months we had 206 in August of 2020. Kind of cool. And then Hoopla, we were trying to break down what the average cost per circ is, because this is probably one of the biggest things we pay for out of our collection budget. And we put $15,000 towards this year. And we've had a limit how many downloads people could have, just because the budget will be spent like that. So people get three downloads with Hoopla a month. And like it ebb and flow, kind of up and down with it. And then Mango, Gretchen, so you can see it. I'll pull it over a little bit more. I'm going to make it a little larger for you. let me. You can see kind of how we're doing with that. Like we had 75 in, how much was that? In April.
Do you know how many individual users you have, or is that just how many like sessions?
It breaks down the sessions with it. It doesn't tell us how many users. It'll tell us how many mobile sessions, and then the way they compile, each of them compiles very different. And I wish that they all compiled the information the same to make our lives easier.
Well, it makes it hard to figure out, like, how many patrons we're reaching with that program. Like, is it worth our money or not? Because it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be great to be able to get the unique users for each of the different databases. Because on some of those, like, especially the, like, the ancestry things, my guess would be that it's a handful of people who are making up, representing the bulk of the user sessions or the downloads or whatever they track for that. I wonder if there is a way to dig down on all of them to get at that kind of information.
I wish. Some of them you can, and then some of them they don't have the capability. We've asked the state library.
Oh my goodness. About some of it. Yeah.
Laura, can you share more about what Mango is?
Mango is our language database, the foundation pays for, and it has, God, they have like over 60 different languages that you can learn. You can learn how to talk like a pirate. They have Spanish on there. They don't have MUM. That was one of the things I've been talking to them about. That would be a great feature, and I keep bugging them about that. They have Italian, Russian, German, different dialects too. They have stuff for English language learners too, like to help support them. And then they do videos and tutorials. And then you even can check how you're pronouncing things too, and I'll recite the information back to you, which is great. But that's our language database. And we used to have this, like, I guess a number of years before I came here, and they didn't offer it. And this is one of the things I asked the foundation to cover, because we should have something language-wise, especially when we have 30 to 35% of our community that speaks Spanish or MUM.
Can Mango help you learn English?
It can.
Cool.
My thought is to make a connection with the schools.
Vanessa's been sending information videos on how to access it to the language teachers at the middle school and high school. And then she was sharing this information, like her how-to videos too, when we were recording them with people, sending them to the library media specialists too. And then we were trying to put them up like in our e-blast or in the newsletter that we send out too. But we definitely want to get the word out even more and do more marketing with these resources too. Because I don't, like you guys were asking questions about, can you access this with your library card?
Yeah.
You can, but I don't think people necessarily know that.
I was just going to ask you've talked about how the Mango, how you're kind of outreaching about Mango, but how are these and where are these publicized? I mean, like I've been, volunteering at the library for 6 years and I didn't know these things existed. So where do people find out that they are available to them?
We'll put it out like on PR. We usually feature different ones like in the newsletter or when we send out the e-blast or PR blurb, or there's sliders on the homepage and Lily will highlight things too. And then we have some brochures, but we need to update those too. Gotcha. Over by the circulation desk.
Yeah.
And then there's some downstairs, and that's one of the big projects that we're going to try to tackle too, is updating the brochures that we have, making sure we have all the brochures for the different databases. I would love to make those bilingual too for people. But we definitely want to get the word out more with this.
Right.
But if you want to join Mango, I think you just go to the webpage, home page, and there's a link.
Okay. Yes. And then if you don't have a library pen set up, let us know so we can get that set up for you, because that's going to be your way to access.
Okay.
That's one important thing to point out.
But really, you should try Hoopla. It's my favorite.
Gretchen keeps us very busy with Hoopla. The other ones are novelists, like I had mentioned to you guys in here, an Oregonian, Flipster, and Oregonian and Flipster were covered this past year with CARES, the CARES grant from the state library.
And we decided that we're going to keep the Oregonian on another year, especially because now they're the online access to it. And then they're restricting certain articles unless you have a subscription to. And Lily, who was one of our fantastic librarians, we've been talking about ways to be able to market some of this more too, just to let people know.
Yeah, definitely.
And Tech Talks. That's the very bottom one.
We'll talk about books actually too. I think when you have a library user, they tend to do the same thing every time they go to the library. I think most people are going for a specific reason. So I think outreach on something like databases can be really hard because there's probably not that big a number of people that are interested in them. Mm-hmm. And even if it's known, they're kind of, yeah, that's not why I go. So I think I think it's hard to move people beyond what they go to the library for, specifically in their own mind.
Yeah, I agree. I never use anything but Hoopla, and I hear about this every month.
I will show you if you guys want to know more about them. They're great. They're all really great resources, and it just takes a little bit of time to wrap your brain around how everything works. But they all have their place, and they're all very important. I love novelists. That's the one thing I like, especially if you want to know what you should read next time.
And it's been around forever.
Yes, and it's gotten better and better and better.
I'm going to check them all out.
I actually follow the library on Instagram. I don't know if you have Instagram, but that's a really good way to learn and to share info with other people. I think whoever's running your Instagram is doing a good job, Laura.
I move this
Laura,
over.
Yeah. Question for you. Have you shared this with the volunteer coordinators where I work, or is this something that I can route their way? Because we could definitely reach a large number of people because we do have monthly or basically volunteer updates every week that just are digital now. Everything's online, so they could still access this kind of thing.
I have not, but that would be wonderful.
Okay. All right. Excellent. I will pass that on. We have a new volunteer coordinator for our adult program, our adult volunteers, and we have a new volunteer coordinator for our youth. And so I will pass this information on to them.
Just let me know if you need me to send you anything, Yvonne. I can share.
Okay, cool.
With you. This is the Wi-Fi statistics for July and August, and it did not transfer over correctly when it was in Word to PDF. So you guys see the monthly total. That is supposed to be for the 5,913. That's supposed to be for July. And then the other one is supposed to be for August. It did not transfer over correctly. So the total column is all the different Wi-Fi locations, and then the first column is July, and the second one is August. I wanted to show you guys this so you can see how much use our Wi-Fi is getting. Inside the building, outside the building, in the lower parking lots, around the building, it is very impressive. So the Wi-Fi boosters were a very good investment for us to make. Mm-hmm. Do you have any questions? That is the end of the librarian's report and all of the statistics.
Excellent job, Laura.
Thank you, Laura.
Sometimes we make her go at the end. Okay, that moves us on to discussion item 4A, which is the Oregon Library Association Equity, Diversity, Inclusion, and Anti-Racism Toolkit update. And I'm really lucky because I'm sitting by someone who has a copy of it.
And I'll share that copy.
We actually completed the toolkit on Tuesday, but I'll give you guys another report about that. But we're still going through during our weekly staff meetings, as long as everybody's there, through different sections of our toolkit. I printed off copies for those of you that don't have a copy of this. Let me know if you miss
placed if you need me to print you another one, because I want to make sure you guys have a copy of this. What we went through since the last time I met with you guys is we went through how to advocate for EDI and anti-racism in the library when your community is not receptive, what actions require governance involvement.
What does EDI mean?
Equity, diversity, and inclusion. And a lot of times you'll see it like the DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. It just, the letters, people move them around. And so we went through this particular section, which, and it, we talked about which people are key to my library, advancing EDI and anti-racism, and what are their interests, such as staff, decision makers, external advocates, and partners. And we had discussions about that. And then what are the broader benefits of my EDI and anti-racism goals? And we do have goals regarding the library this year, focusing on this, that went to council, as well as with you guys talking to the board about this, and then doing some training with it. And that's part of the reason why you guys have this, so we can talk about it. And then, I'm gonna go down a little more. We talked about grants. I can't look at that screen. It's gonna mess me up. Grants and resisting, which is a Q&A with Alma Palencia, and she was the OLA EDI and anti-racism co-chair. She's now the chair, about her experiences being BIPOC and trying to go after grants and some of the challenges that she's faced and how she's been able to overcome those obstacles, which was great.
You said she was what?
When the toolkit came out, she was the OLA Equity, Diversity, and Anti-Racism co-chair. She's now the chair this year. Because they switched, like, last year I was the Public Library Division chair, and then September 1st I became the past chair. And so Alma was like the vice chair, and then she became the chair of this committee. So it's a standing, like, committee now that the Oregon Library Association has, and they have focus goals with this too for not just the state library, but all Oregon libraries. We also talked about anti-racism and EDI, professional development for librarians and library staff. And one of those things Ellen actually attended was the pre-conference at the OLA conferences last year that talked more about this. Letting the staff know about that. And then the state library is offering free trainings. So going through that, as well as other resources that are out there. There's a lot, which is great. And it's gonna take us a little bit of time to go through everything. And we're gonna have to pick and choose. But it's a work in progress. And then they also provided a list of books and reading materials in the toolkit. And so Sarah, who BBSI, temporary employee, she went through this list of books and films to see what materials the library owned and didn't. And the list of reading materials also includes a blog and journals. And we did not have any of the films that were listed in our library collection or in the Ocean Books Consortium or online in, like, download format. But we do have 18 of the books that are listed in the toolkit in our physical library collection. And then we have 15 of the titles in ebook format. And then 21 of the books that are listed are available at other libraries in the Ocean Books Consortium. So I'm going through and I'm letting the selectors on staff know which ones would belong to them, so then we can try to purchase them. And then we can read through this and talk about it as part of this process too.
Is that a large percentage of the total books listed?
It's like 78 that are listed on the thing.
Oh, wow.
So we have
okay.
A very small.
Okay, gotcha.
So
all right.
By books that are listed, you mean books that are recommended to have to address these issues?
Yes, that talk about this. They give us a whole list of resources that we should look at, blogs, journals, films. And so that's one of the things that Sarah, we tasked her with to look through to see what we have and we don't have, because as we've talked about, this is a work in progress and we're trying to educate ourselves and we want to do better. One of those ways is getting our hands on these types of materials and being able to read them and talk about it and have open conversations and discussions.
So is the library going to prioritize getting them?
Yes. Okay. This is one of the things I have the list printed. I just need more time in the day.
Laura, do you remember how many films there were recommended?
They would have that in the toolkit, Melly. There's a handful of them. So go farther in into the toolkit. They have a list of the films that are available. I mean, there's quite a few resources.
Yeah, there's like 10 films.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We don't have any of those. And there's books and there's, I mean, it's interesting. It's really interesting. And some of us on staff have already read one or a couple of the books that are on the list. But we don't own a lot of them. So we definitely want to work on that. We also discussed the mentorship program for library staff of color. The Oregon Library Association already had established a mentorship program. But we really want to involve more members of our BIPOC community. And one of the things that was explained is that it would be more welcoming for us to have mentors that are members of the BIPOC community themselves, so they feel welcome. And so they've also put together a mentorship program for library staff of color to be able to make sure that they're feeling like they're supported and heard and they have a pathway moving forward. In this section, it has information for mentors, what does a mentor entail, information for mentees, what does being a mentee entail, went through all of that, and then what does the time commitment look like for a mentor, is there a deadline to become a mentor or a mentee, and how do you match up to mentors and mentees?
Laura, I have a question about that. That is for staff that is already hired. Is that correct?
That are members of the Oregon,
okay.
That's one of the requirements, is that they want you to be working in Oregon libraries or in school in some kind of capacity.
I think it would also, once you get the program going, it would be nice to also do outreach maybe to schools, encouraging people to get into their profession.
Yes.
Try and get the kids or the young adults interested in librarianship and showing it, you know, it's got some diversity in it. I think that would be great.
And there's actually going to be a grant that's supposed to open later this fall that I'm planning on applying for. You guys are familiar with, like, where they do work-study programs, especially with, like, our high school kids. There's a partnership with, like, the Oregon WorkSource Oregon and the State Library, where they're going to be offering grants later on this fall to rural communities like ours. And I went to an information session and was asking questions. Were you, under the grant, you'd be able to hire high school students of a certain age, and so they get work study and they get to learn more about libraries and if this is something, so we're creating a path, and so this kind of falls in within that, but I need the grant application to open so I can apply for it first, so then we can get it secure, Maddie, because you had asked Vanessa about this. So it's exciting. So I want to tell you guys about that, and then they have a section in there about what if you have questions, and then the mentorship program for library staff of color was inspired by the existing OLA mentorship program and is managed by the Oregon Library Association Equity, Diversity, and Anti-Racism Committee. And then the one thing that didn't cover on this page.
Laura, I'm sorry, I have another question.
You're good.
How many universities or colleges in Oregon offer an MLIS program?
There's none.
There's none.
Wow. Not Oregon State. Eugene used to offer a number of years ago, and they discontinued that. Emporia is the big one, but that's based out of Kansas. And they have, like, Portland, like, where they'll have students come up for, like, a whole weekend once a month to work on their master's program. But there is no physical library school in the state of Oregon. That's why I got mine in Wisconsin, Milwaukee, because they had like four of them there.
Wow.
I didn't realize that.
Interesting. Very interesting. So that's the report about the OLA Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion and Anti-Racism Toolkit. Do you have any questions?
Just a comment. You're waiting for me. That brings us to discussion item 4B, library policy revisions, starting with mission, vision, and goals.
Could I just make a comment about that last night? I'm so glad that you guys are doing this. I'm just really impressed and thankful. Thank you.
Thank you. It's very important. We want to change the conversation, and we want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem.
Awesome. One of the words, like, I guess it's an acronym, right? The BIPOC. So it's in our packet here. It's people. It's Black, Indigenous, and people of color. Yeah. So.
Okay. So the first policy revision is, when I was looking through, we're trying to go after some of that low-hanging fruit. So our mission was outdated from when we approved the strategic plan. And so I put the updated mission statement in here that we provide equitable access to materials, entertainment, information, and technology services of the highest quality to our diverse multi-generational community. These are track changes so you guys can see what was here before and what's now. We did not have a vision section in here, so I added a vision section in here for the vision statement. I'm going to roll that down.
So is this the mission and vision that we developed for the strategic plan? It's word for word the same?
Yes.
Perfect.
And then the vision statement is our community collaborates to support diversity, resiliency, and inclusivity so that everyone can learn, grow, and thrive. So we put that in here. And then the goals were outdated too because it was from the last strategic plan. So I updated that section too. So these are goals.
So for those of you who are new, we just barely finished revising the strategic plan. Most of it was done by the library, but the library board did work together to develop these statements. And then I believe the goals were, how were the goals developed?
We went through with all the people who were involved, like the stakeholders, the community members that were involved in this, the board, foundation representatives, the staff, and asked what focus areas we should be focusing on. And so we picked the top four focus areas because it's a three-year plan. We would have gone more, but
we don't want to be too overzealous.
And so we came up with goals focusing on each of those and then objectives to go along with it. And so I will send you guys, because Stormy, you haven't gotten, Maddie, did I send that to you? The strategic plan, did I send you the revised strategic? Okay, I'll send it out to all of you guys too, just so you guys have it. So the updated goals are included in here, and it's adults and seniors will have the support they need to improve their literacy skills in order to meet their personal goals and fulfill their responsibilities as members of their community. Teens will learn to evaluate information resources at many levels, increasing their understanding and awareness of the world around them. Families will have programs and support for listening, learning, and understanding, leading to shared experiences that create connections. Residents of all ages will have the resources and support they need to do their research, scholastic, and literacy activities. And residents will have programs and services that accurately and positively represent their culture and history. Residents will have access to resources that allow for comfortable information gathering, either independently or with support from library staff. And there's a couple more goals. And because we really wanted to make sure that we're being welcoming and inclusive, and a huge segment of our community is vastly underserved, we were really focusing on our immigrant and refugee, our Indigenous, like, other segments of our community. So we have two goals with this too, that new immigrants and refugees will have access to information on citizenship, language learning, employment, public schooling, health and safety, available social services, and any other topics needed to participate successfully in American life. And then residents will have access to the internet, devices, and knowledge to support their work, education, and interests. And we've already started getting new brochures in the library from different partners in the community, and then updating our brochures downstairs in our Spanish language area too, so we have updated materials down there from organizations that we're partnering with, like the Olala Center.
Have you gotten any census data yet?
Yes, but the census data is a little bit different than the school, especially so
like when we put the strategic plan together, we were paying closer attention. We were looking at the census information, but the new information wasn't there yet. We were looking at the enrollment for the schools because that's more of a telltale. So it's between like 30 to 35%. I think the census had us at like 23 or 24% in Newport as far as our Hispanic and Indigenous community. So that's the first policy.
Do we need to make a motion?
You do.
Ellen, are you making a motion?
Yes, I am. I'd like to make a motion to accept the policy changes that were outlined by Laura.
Do we have a second?
I second that motion.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? All right, passes unanimously. On to the anti-racism statement.
So this is something that we've been discussing, especially when we were going through the EDI toolkit, and then Ellen had attended that OLA pre-conference session about equity, diversity, and inclusion and anti-racism. And so I put together, this is the first go at it. Okay, this is a work in progress. I consulted with like Oregon Library Association leadership. I had talked to other libraries that were making this work a priority for their libraries too. I really would like to get other people's feedback on this too, especially when we fill some of our positions at the library that are representative of our BIPOC community, just to make sure that we're doing okay and that we're being sensitive to this, okay?
Or just so I understand the intent before you start reading this, is your hope that we will read this and give you feedback today? Is it your hope that we'll accept it today and revisit it later when we are able to get more feedback? What are you kind of hoping?
I would like to get your guys' feelings about this. And if you're inclined to vote, then we will vote. But this isn't going to be, like, I'm going to come back to you guys with this. Like, this isn't, we're going to have to go through some of the policies even after today, like the next one. Because library hours are included in there, but I needed it updated. Library hours will change again. So this definitely is a work in progress, but I want you guys to look at it first and then give me your feedback. And then,
so if I'm understanding you correctly, it's fine if we want to vote today, but it's okay if we want to table it and come back again in November.
Yes.
Okay.
I was going to read this to you guys, okay? This is the anti-racism statement. This is the draft of it, okay? The Newport Public Library stands with the American Library Association, ALA, and the Black Caucus of the American Library Association, BCALA, in condemning violence and racism toward Black people and people of color. We stand with ALA and the BCALA against systemic social injustices endured by Black people and people of color. We also stand with the Oregon Library Association, OLA, Asian Pacific American Library Association, APALA, Chinese American Librarians Association, CALA, Reforma, which is our association that represents our Hispanic and Indigenous communities, and the American Library Association to condemn hate crimes and racist language towards Asian American, and Pacific Islander communities. And this first section was used in a lot of the other anti-racism statements, the examples that were presented during the OLA EDI pre-conference, as well as by other leaders in the Oregon Library Association. They were trying to use that first section to go along with the ALA and making sure that we were trying to encapsulate all of the associations that represent our BIPOC community.
So I have a question about that first section that's going to unfortunately demonstrate that I'm from Kansas. So why is Black separate from people of color? Is that different?
With this, yeah. With this, I think like the BIPOC, you can fall within some of these other associations, but I think the Black Caucus of the American Library Association is supposed to be more representative of African American community.
Okay.
I'm not as familiar with that one though, that association, but they have different associations and more of them have popped up to make sure that they're being representative of different segments of the BIPOC community too.
How will this be disseminated? Does it go out to the public? Like, what is the purpose of this document, and how will it be used? How will it and
so it'd be, it would be in our policy manual. We didn't have anything like this too, mm-hmm. and then we would be putting it up on our website after it would be approved here and then approved by council. We'd put it up on the website so people know that. This is kind of where we stand as a public library because libraries are open for all, and that we want to be inclusive of everyone mm-hmm. and make sure everybody feels welcome. That's typically, and maybe we send it out to people too. Like the city has a diversity statement that they have up. It wasn't as fitting with this particularly, especially with like libraries and what our mission and like vision is. So it's a little bit different than that.
Gretchen, I agree with Laura. I think, and I had the same thought, why is Black separated? I think it has to do with who has been advocating within ALA for the longest time. And I think African American has been a strong group within the American Library Association for the longest.
It's interesting, and they're adding like other associations too. But our BIPOC community has definitely been marginalized, and they haven't been treated fairly. And this is one way they're really trying to advocate for.
I guess everyone. My concern with this, and maybe it's down farther, and I can't read that far, is that really in our community we have a lot more Hispanics or. Indigenous First People, and they aren't covered in this
Reforma.
Reforma.
Reforma is the library association that represents them.
Okay, because that's not obvious, whereas other groups who are not as well represented in our community are specifically called out. So I guess I just would want to highlight the groups that are really represented more in our community.
I just wanted to add to your statement there. We just, in our community, because of my experience in our public school system for several years, we also have, not everyone is considered Hispanic. And so we have, you know, Latinos who might be from South America. We might have Cubans, people, my ancestors are Spaniard German of all, and my grandmother's indigenous. So the, you know, the look or the appearance might lead your perception to identify that person as such. But in our community, we actually have more folks from Guatemala. And so that's the difference.
Would Latino cover all of those groups, or is there a word to cover all those groups, or should we list them all separately?
Right now, there's not really a word because it is a personal kind of selection, and it seems that the majority, those that are out using it most, are the ones that we then decide or determine, but that's not necessarily the case.
And like Latino, Latinx, that's typically, that term's typically used by our younger community versus like Hispanic. And there's been different articles like with the word choice too, as far as that goes.
Melly, does people of color cover all of those or no?
Well, in my point of view, it does not really cover everyone because my own children, my husband's Irish and German and Slovakian. So, you know, when my sons are out there, I have one that's very tall and dark and beard just like his dad, and the other one's slender and fair and, you know, brown and light as hair. So it's really tough. It's really tough. But I think showing an equal representation is key. And that's what I see here in this description.
I was trying to be very inclusive.
It's important. Section, the second paragraph, is we embrace anti-racism strategies in our work and are doing the work to become better allies. We also acknowledge the historical legacy of unequal access that public libraries have in the United States. We are dedicated to amplifying the diverse voices of our communities and of Black authors and authors of color as we evolve in our mission at the Newport Public Library to provide equitable access to materials, entertainment, information, and technology services of the highest quality to our diverse, multi-generational community. And then you guys see the lines in there. The lines are in this paragraph because those are hyperlinked to the ALA website. So if you were pulling this up on the policy manual, like the policy manual, it would take you, if you were putting your finger, like your browser over it, mm-hmm. it would take you to those links. And the last paragraph is we embrace the American Library Association's Code of Ethics and the Library Bill of Rights adopted in 1939 and supplemented with modern interpretations to evolve with the times. We also acknowledge the historical legacy of unequal access that public libraries have in the United States, and we are actively involved in rebuilding an equitable institution.
I think that's really good. My comment's only the same as in paragraph one, that I would like to include the communities specifically represented in our community to the best of our ability. I mean, I don't think we can hit everyone, but.
Right. It's very interesting that in that first paragraph, they kind of separate like Black people and people of color, and then at the bottom, we condemn hate crimes and language towards Asian American. You know, I get it, but it's weird that it's kind of divided.
Do you guys have a better word choice that we can add in here? Like racist language towards, condemn hate crimes and racist language towards people of color? Would that be a better, do you think that would be a better term? So then we're encapsulating that instead of being Asian, making sure we're not leaving anybody out?
Right, I think if you place it further up in the paragraph, then it would be an umbrella for all.
Maybe with that condemning violence and, my eyes don't work very good.
Condemn hate crimes and racist language? Are you looking at that paragraph?
I'm looking at the top, or at more towards the top, that where the American Library Association is condemning violence and racism toward Black people and people of color. Maybe it could be condemning violence and racism, hate speech and language. Yeah. Racism, hate crimes and racial language. So maybe just moving it all up.
That's a good suggestion.
To you guys one more time. So the first,
make it whoop.
Okay, the first sentence with the changes, the Newport Public Library stands with the American Library Association, ALA, and the Black Caucus of the American Library Association, BCALA, in condemning violence and racism. Racism, hate speech, or do we want to say hate crimes? Hate crimes or hate speech? Hate crimes.
Hate crimes, it's from that last second to last sentence.
Mm-hmm. Hate crimes and racist language towards people of color. And then we can take out the last. Do we want to keep the last sentence then? What do you guys think about that then?
Is it different? I mean, like, does the American Library Association not call out the hate crimes? And I'm just trying to figure out, like, why it's all divided. Like, I get it that we're using some of this, you know, that we're standing with these other organizations and what they say. But is it divided like this because some of those organizations say condemning violence and racism, and then the other, I mean, is it okay to blend them all?
We could blend all of them and then just have it like the American Library Association, the Asian Pacific American Librarians Association, Chinese American Library Association, Reforma, and then the BCALA, put that up there, and then say, in condemning violence, racism, hate crimes, and racist language toward people of color. Just do it that way.
That's better.
Yeah, I like that better.
That's a lot better as well.
Thank you.
They all feel the same way about all of this, so I agree.
And thank you for being patient while we work on this. You know, I feel like, oh, we'll just tear it up.
No, that's why I wanted, I told you, this is the first go at it, and I wanted your guys' opinion on it, because I was been compiling and talking to everybody and trying to get information, so.
Complicated.
It's very, complicated, and I'm really trying to be sensitive to the issue, too, yeah. And we want to be part of the solution. We don't want to be part of the problem.
That's right.
When you were asking about the purpose, Stormy, I just sort of absorbed it from that program that I went to. Like, it would be a way, I kind of think of it like a welcoming sticker on the door that says, you are welcome here. We want you to be here, where somebody might think, do they want me here? Am I welcome here? It's sort of a like, yes, you are in the right place. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I kind of see it as, this is your library. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the bigger. It turns it around, making it more positive than, yes, you're welcome here, but welcome to, it can have different, emphasis for people. But this is your library says, this is your library.
Yeah.
So I was going to just share something. Is it possible that your association acronyms can be a hyperlink? That way people could go in to read more about their those organizations.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So I have a question here. Are we suggesting that we, trim that first paragraph so that all the different associations are links, or are we still, I guess the reason why I'm asking is because I'm glad that we are listing very specific groups, very specific associations, certainly as there has been so much more public advertising, for lack of a better word, with communities that have been very targeted over the last 2 to 3 years. I mean, they were very targeted all along, but just this sudden vocal presence to just take these really strong stands. It kind of seems like having all the various organizations or associations listed by name is kind of strengthening that. So that's why I guess that's what I'm asking is how are we trimming that first paragraph?
Well, the way it would read now, and correct me if I'm wrong, you guys, the Newport Public Library stands with the American Library Association, the Black Caucus of the American Library Association, the Asian Pacific American Librarians Association, Chinese American Library Association, and Reforma, and condemning violence, racism, hate crimes, and racist language towards people of color. And then we would take out that the sentence that follows after with, we stand with ALA and BCALA, because we're encapsulating everything in that one sentence. And then it would go to the second paragraph. And then I can add hyperlinks, like in the third paragraph where you guys see it underlined, I will add hyperlinks for each of those too. So then people, when they click on it, they can go to where each of these associations are too.
Would you read this? I cannot read. Can you read the second paragraph again too, Laura? Was there going to be a change there?
I don't know. You guys tell me.
Would you please read it again? Yeah.
Anti-racism strategies in our work and are doing the work to become better allies.
We also acknowledge the historical legacy of unequal access that public libraries have in the United States. We are dedicated to amplifying the diverse voices of our communities and of Black authors and authors of color as we evolve in our mission at the Newport Public Library to provide equitable access to materials, entertainment, information, and technology services of the highest quality to our diverse multi-generational community. So the last part of that is our mission, the updated mission that was approved. I don't know what you guys think about taking out the diverse voices of our communities and of Black authors and authors of color, if we should just put authors of color, if you guys feel like that's
my opinion would lean toward just authors of color.
Laura, I know this is kind of a can of worms and we don't have to get into this. Do you guys have a statement about gender issues?
Not yet, but that's something we're going to work on.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you could change it to historically disenfranchised groups.
Oh, good one.
Oh, that's... We acknowledge the historically disenfranchised groups.
Groups also, that's...
Yeah, maybe populations or communities. I like communities better.
Yeah. I do have to share, I had goosebumps when she read that.
I'm going to read it really quick again. So it would say, we embrace anti-racism strategies in our work and are doing the work to become better allies. We acknowledge the historical legacy of disenfranchised communities. That public libraries have in the United States.
Well, I like unequal access, which you just took out, right? Am I looking at the wrong sentence?
Yeah, I think we should keep that.
Okay, so historical disenfranchised communities of equal access or legacy?
So I think it should say we embrace anti-racism. I can't read that word.
Strategies.
In our work.
And are doing the work to become better allies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
And then we acknowledge the historical...
No, I think that sentence should stay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, it's later, I think.
Yeah.
And I think you could say to become better allies and support historically disenfranchised communities.
I like
yes,
that.
Yes, that's great.
And I think for now, I do agree, we definitely need to draft something like this as well to address gender identity and equity.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say that in that first paragraph, when we reread the final or our new first paragraph, I think we had left out systemic and systematic social injustices. And I think if we tag that to the end of that paragraph and leave it as sort of an all-encompassing sentence, that we will stand against systemic and systematic social injustice, that for now can encompass the communities that we're listing specifically and other communities that we are going to draft future sentences and future policies.
Can do. So can I read that to you guys one more time? Just to make sure I have it. Okay. We embrace anti-racism strategies in our work and are doing the work to become better allies and support historically disenfranchised communities. We acknowledge the historical legacy of unequal access that public libraries have in the United States. We are dedicated to amplifying the diverse voices of our communities and of authors of color as we evolve in our mission at the Newport Public Library to provide equitable access to materials, entertainment, information, and technology services of the highest quality to our diverse multi-generational community. So that's the second paragraph. And I'm going to read the first paragraph to you guys really quick based off of what, like, Avonda suggested.
I have one question. I know I said historical, but my concern is that people are going to think that we're saying that they were disenfranchised in the past and aren't anymore.
So I'm wondering if we should say historically and currently disenfranchised communities.
Or the thing that caught my attention was that, you know how you're not supposed to use the same word over in two sentences, was if we maintain historical with that word legacy, and if we just say, like you're saying here, Gretchen, just disenfranchised communities.
Yeah, that's fine. That makes sense to me.
So just take out, don't use the historical?
Yeah.
Don't use it or do use it?
Don't use it the...
Not use it for disenfranchised, but yes, use it,
for the legacy. Then the first paragraph with the changes that you had mentioned too, Yvonne, the Newport Public Library stands with the American Library Association, the Black Caucus of the American Library Association. I have to make sure my eyes are following this. Asian Pacific American Library Association, Chinese American Library Association, and Reforma, in condemning violence, racism, hate crimes, racist language, and systemic and systemic social justices endured by people of color.
Yeah. Yeah, systemic and systematic social injustice. Yeah.
Yes, we got it.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, one other sentence that just sounds weird to me is, we also acknowledge the historical legacy of unequal access that public libraries have in the United States. Does that sound okay to everyone else? It just seems... Is it unequal access to public libraries? Or I just...
I believe it's acknowledging that there have been those moments.
Okay, if everyone else is good with it, I am too.
What is it? Aren't you looking at grammar? I mean, you're looking at the way that the sentence is put together.
It just is.
I think it's awkward also.
Oh, okay.
Awkward.
We wanted to say we acknowledge the historical legacy of unequal access. You said you used a different word. Historical legacy of unequal access. You had a different word though, Helen.
I said to public libraries, but I'm not sure
I'm right.
When I
read the sentence, when I read the sentence, my brain translated it to basically say, we also acknowledge that public libraries have a historical legacy of unequal access.
Yeah, that sounds much more succinct.
Yes, thank you. Oh, that's beautiful.
You're rocking it tonight, Yvonne.
Yvonne's on fire. Will you read it again, Yvonne?
I wasn't sure if that was the intention, but that's how I interpreted it.
We liked it. Could you read it? Could you do it again so that Laura can get it down?
I couldn't write. I didn't even get a word written.
Oh, sure. We also acknowledge that public libraries have a historical legacy of unequal access in the United States. And if you want, you could pop that. We could say, we also acknowledge that public libraries in the United States have a historical legacy of unequal access.
I prefer option two.
Yeah, I do as well.
So we also acknowledge that public libraries in the United States have a historical legacy of unequal access.
I'm reading it back to you.
Which then leads us beautifully right into the next sentence, when we say we acknowledge this problem, and then our next sentence is our commitment. So it is saying, we get it, we know this, we are dedicated to amplifying the diverse ...
So that sentence, the one that the funny worded one, we also acknowledge that public libraries in the United States have a historical legacy of unequal access. In a sentence, new sentence, mm-hmm. We are actively involved in rebuilding an equitable institution.
Okay. Yeah, the historical legacy sentence, I thought it was kind of odd too. It's in paragraph two and paragraph three.
It is. I didn't just saw that. It's hyperlinked. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Do we want to take that out?
So I was still on paragraph two. and figured that we would drop it out of paragraph 3 since that was redundant.
So do we want to take it out of paragraph 3 then, and then I can just hyperlink the link on paragraph 2 with that? Does that sound okay? So we'll just take
that. I think that's
efficient. We're going to take that out. Okay, so that last paragraph would say, we embrace the American Library Association's Code of Ethics and the Library Bill of Rights adopted in 1939 and supplemented with modern interpretations to evolve with the times. We are actively involved in rebuilding an equitable institution. And then the paragraph that was before, the second one, we embrace anti-racism strategies in our work and are doing the work to become better allies and support disenfranchised communities. Do we want to say we also acknowledge that public libraries in the United States have a historical legacy of unequal access? Do you just want me to put that in there as that replacement for that second sentence in the second paragraph? Acknowledge a historical legacy of unequal access that public libraries have in the United States? Because I like the way it's worded better with the suggestions that you guys made. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so have the revised sentence in the second paragraph, but also as available as a hyperlink.
Say after that, we are dedicated to amplifying the diverse voices of our communities and of authors of color as we evolve in our mission at the Newport Public Library. And then goes into our mission statement.
I think I've got it all.
Yay.
So the next question is, do we want to vote tonight, or would we like Laura to type this up and have us reread it in November? I'm getting a lot of head shakes, yes, Yvonne, that they'd like Laura to type this up and give us a second look at it in November to make sure it still resonates.
I was nodding my head yes, too, as we were asking. I think let's type it up, and we'll look at it again with fresh eyes in November, and then we know we're good.
That sounds good.
Yeah, that sounds great.
So we have one more policy.
Yes.
It's not one with a lot of changes. That's the good news. A lot of tabs pulled up.
You have 16 minutes, Laura.
Done. We're going to be done.
I waited a long time to start the countdown tonight. So.
Very good, because I brought you a lot of policies. So this is the policies governing the facility. And so the big change with policies governing the facility is regarding our open hours to the public, because it's changed quite a bit since this happened. We are no longer open the 7 days a week. We're open the 4 days a week for 28 hours to our public. So that's been updated. This will have to come back in front of you guys again when we have another change with the hours, but we're not there yet until we get positions filled and we kind of have a better idea with what is going on with COVID. So you guys can see the changes with it where it says like Newport Public Library is open to the public during these hours. Instead of it saying Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., it now says Tuesday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And then Thursday to Saturday is taken out, and then Sunday is taken out. And then the one thing I did add in there is, in addition, I added library director, just because sometimes when people read, they're going to be like, director of, I mean, you think they'd figure that out, but I wanted to try to be consistent with it. Mm-hmm. And then 5.2, I added a couple of things in there too. After services, I added resources. So it said the library is a City of Newport facility intended primarily for the provision of library materials, services, resources, and programs. I felt like resources should be included in there. Not just material services and programs, because we do a lot more than that. And then I put the in there instead of it saying just while Newport Public Library. It sounded funny, so I put the in there. And then 5.3 is petitions, and there was no changes with that. I'll read that to you guys really quick, too. The library allows petitioning.
If there's no changes, we don't need to vote.
Yeah, no changes as far as that. There's no changes under 5.4 about displays of art. There's nothing there. Bulletin boards, I did add a change.
there was the period was on the other side of the, so I put it on the other side. That's the only change of that one. And then 5.6 was distribution of free materials, and that hasn't changed either. So those are the changes with this particular. I was going to bring you guys the patron rules of conduct, but there's been some stuff that's been brought up that I need a little bit more time to talk to legal about. And I want to be able to have that conversation with them because we may be handing out like waiver forms when people are checking out our mobile hotspots.
We might be handing out what?
Waiver forms that adults would have to fill out that they're not going to use them for anything illegal. Oh. And I will talk to you guys offline about what happened.
Okay.
But I don't want to leave the city in a position where there's liability on the city's part or on the library's part. And there's been a number of child pornography situations up in Tillamook County. And we here in Newport, and I need to take another stab at the patron rules of conduct with that. So I didn't bring it to you guys tonight because it's not ready. And that the situation happened shortly before the meeting. And so I made a last minute decision not to bring you guys that because I'm going to be bringing it back to you again. So that was the last policy.
Fair enough.
So before we vote, I have to renew my encouragement that the library change to being open on a weekend. Even if that means you have to close on Tuesday. I just feel like as an advocate for the public, I need to continue to advocate that you guys be open at a time when people who are at work could come.
So, I agree.
Yes, I do.
So even if that means Wednesday through Saturday, because you can only staff 4 days, I do get a lot of questions about why you're not open on a weekend and the perception in the public, quite frankly, is that the staff doesn't want to work on the week, go back to working nights and weekends.
It's because of the resources, limited resources, and making sure that you have, when you have 40-hour staff, making sure that you're not having people who are in the building by themselves, too, because that's a safety issue. And this is kind of like the middle ground where we were supposed to be. We didn't think we were going to be here this long. We thought that we were going to be filling the positions a lot faster with that. And we have talked about Saturday hours, too. The one thing I will tell you guys is the staff's going to burn out if we keep at this level, because we've been doing this since COVID started. And our resources were significantly cut back when everything happened. And they're doing the best that they can as far as that goes. And I do understand the perception very much.
The question that I get is, why is the library not open Wednesday through Saturday? Why aren't they open a day? We're not asking you to add more hours. No. Why isn't one of the days on a weekend?
And that's one of the things that we're trying to work on. I mean, I can't tell you how soon that's going to happen. We're in the process of trying to finalize a supervising position and then go through that. And I have staff that has been selected that will be working Saturdays and who's going to be working evening with everything too. This will be a discussion I'll have with Spencer, the city manager, more. But right now we're just trying to keep the doors open with the increase in cases.
If you have a great answer I could give people who ask me, I would love to have the verbiage. Because when I say things like they're short-staffed or they're hiring new people, the response I get was, well, are only new people working on Saturday? So I don't really have a great response to that. So if you have one, I would love to know what it was.
So the response, so you guys think about how many staff we had before COVID. We had 15 employees. We are down to 7 of us. Okay, so our staffing has been cut in half with the number of hours. Okay. Hiring is part of it, and it's taking a little longer to get positions in place. And that's not just here. It's everywhere. And when we moved to this, we were coming from a takeout situation, and we were trying to make changes, small changes, not to overwhelm the public as well as the staff, just because all these changes take a lot of extra work on our part, especially when you're thinking about safety protocols with everything. And so that Tuesday through Friday was supposed to be the middle ground, and we were only supposed to be here for a short period. We've been here a lot longer than what we were supposed to before we went to add an evening and Saturday hours. But that's not to be said that we can't change to Wednesday through Saturday. that's going to be another thing that's going to take a little bit of time to kind of figure out the work schedule with everything too. But it's not because staff doesn't want to work weekends. They signed up to work weekends and evening hours when they took the job.
It kind of right, that's so a really long answer. I think I'll just say they're working on it.
Yeah, so it sounds like the staff scheduling is a little bit more complex than just taking everybody who works on a Tuesday and reassigning them to Saturdays.
It is, and especially when you have like a circulation desk and you have a reference desk, and then you have to have somebody in the back room when you have deliveries or other things that are coming in. And then when you don't have enough staff to take breaks, or if people are out sick or they take vacation, like we're supposed to be able to still take vacation time. When you think about it, there's been a couple days we've only had five employees or four people who were in the office because somebody was sick, somebody had scheduled vacation, somebody had something already scheduled, but then you have this person who's sick. So then you're very, even more so, and there's no one in the back room to answer phones. There's no one, you may not have somebody who's on the circ desk for a brief period or somebody who's on the reference desk. I mean, that's kind of the situation that we're in right now.
Would it be worse if on a Saturday for those things than on a Tuesday?
No, it would be about the same.
Yeah.
It's just trying to figure out who's going to be working and then schedule right. with like rotating. So it's not just new staff that's working and the people who had agreed to it, but right. rotating who's in there. And we had done that before COVID, as we were rotating. Like I worked every sixth Saturday, like all of us went through a rotation and that was supposed to help mm-hmm. still happen. And then just making sure that you have employees are able to take breaks or they're able to take their lunches. And then scheduling around that just to make sure you have enough staff. It's a lot more complicated than it sounds, especially when you've had the reduction in the staff that we have. And then trying to make sure like the building book drops aren't overflowing, that you have somebody who can pick up deliveries if the doorbell rings. You still have more people again who are coming for library takeout, especially with the increase in COVID cases. And sometimes we don't have somebody who can run out to the parking lot to bring them their items because there's only three employees because of lunches or other things have gone on too. It was nice when we had our 15 employees.
Yeah, for sure.
So I have a question. So is it possible to use volunteers, or is that because of COVID that you're maybe not, like at the school, we're not accepting volunteers until October 28th. Just time-wise get everything going, and so I'm just curious.
We have volunteers right now coming in, like Stormy's coming in, and we have stuff that they're overseeing too. And then I think for a little while when reopened, just trying to figure out what the ebb and flow was going to be because things changed so much, and making sure that we had work for the volunteers to do, like shelving, because you're not going to want to have volunteers do professional librarian work. Like you don't hire a doctor to do police work. Like you don't hire, like it's one of those kinds of situations where it's the education behind it too. But we do have the volunteers who are helping, like with shelving, other various tasks, like with mending some of our books. We have the teen volunteers that are helping with like putting the kits together, with program planning for teens, helping with putting displays together, all kinds of things, huh, Maddie?
I would also say, Laura, I totally get where you're coming from. And sometimes you have to make the hard decision, and I know you know this, that you cannot do everything. And you have to balance the service you offer against the people you have. And if the public sees that services are going away, you know, sometimes the public doesn't recognize all the things you're saying. But when services disappear because you have half the staff, I mean, it's hard to get this across, but you can't do everything with half the staff.
No, and you can't. And that's part of it. And that's why I'm trying to watch like the burnout. And I think all of us are already like we're up here because we've been functioning at this level. And then all the changes that keep happening, and then you're going backwards, forwards with everything too. And like one of the things, like you guys probably noticed, we're not doing as much programming wise. We're trying to do the essential, like what needs to get done. Right now, we're not doing ILL. That's something that we're trying to get started again, but it'll be within Lincoln County, within when we start it, it'll be very minimal because that's where we're at. Outreach, like going out and visiting some of the outreach facilities that we go visit to. Like we used to go weekly. We can't go weekly. We're going once a month. And you're not even there very long. You're just dropping the books off because it's a safety thing at the same time too, especially when the cases are that high. We used to go do outreach at the schools. We're not doing that right now because we're part of it. We weren't able to get into the schools before, so we were doing virtual things too. It's kind of a catch-22.
Yeah, for sure.
But I do want you guys to know, like when I told you guys that we're planning on going back to having evening and Saturday hours, we're still planning on doing that. It's just taking a little longer. And I do understand, because I've heard it from a lot of the community members, that they love to see Saturday hours. That's something I would like to talk to Spencer about and the staff too, because I also don't want like an upheaval of people without talking to them, having a conversation with them and having input. I don't want people to just quit on me either, because they're valued too. And that's one of the things that we can do is with the schedule. But Saturday hours are very important because members of our community aren't able to come in, especially if they're working.
Laura, thank you for the reflective input. Thank you.
You are very welcome.
Do we have a motion on the proposed changes that Laura has brought to us?
I'll make a motion to accept that.
As proposed?
As proposed as Laura's lined out in the draft.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Is there any further discussion about the changes as proposed? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Seeing none, the changes pass.
Our next meeting is not going to be November 10th. It's not on the second Wednesday because council chambers were not available because it's before Veterans Day. So we are the 18th of November. Okay. Yeah.
18?
November 18th. And right now the plan is still to meet in person, but they're looking at trying to do more of the hybrid model or we could do Zoom again, especially with the increase in cases. So it may just be you and I back in here and everybody else can be on Zoom, but I will let you guys know kind of what's going on.
So November 18th is a Thursday. Is that
right?
Correct?
I think it's the 17th. That's right.
November 17th.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you for checking the calendar, Gretchen.
Uh-huh.
It'll be
I do agree that as we get deeper into flu and cold season and approaching holidays and cases going up and down, it probably is a good idea to offer a remote option for the meeting.
I'm just waiting for them to add the Zoom back in so we can do that again.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to be here either way, but I would love it if the members got to choose what worked best for them.
And I will ask you guys a little bit closer because I'll have more information from the city as far as what's going on. But we did talk about it earlier this week about doing more of a hybrid model again, about adding the Zoom back in or phone. It seems like the Zoom option is probably a better way to go. But I will keep you posted.
I mean, I prefer Zoom, then everyone can see my flags. Okay, we have 1 minute left for public comment. Do any members, I see no public here, but do any members, would they like to make a public comment? No, okay, then I call this meeting adjourned at 6:59:30. I'm just kidding, Karen.
7 o'clock.